All right, we're going to continue tonight with that which we've been looking at in the Word of God, ministering and receiving education, which we've been looking at for a while, ministering and receiving edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I expect that by now, if you've practiced, if it's only 10% of all that you've been hearing in this particular series, you will have experienced a measure of change. I said something on Sunday, don't be a forgetful hearer, but be a doer. The way not to be a forgetful hearer is to do what you hear. By doing what you hear, you increase your ability to retain the truth. Remember Jesus said to disciples, Jews that believed on him in John's Gospel chapter 8 and verse 31, he told them, if you continue in my word, then shall you be my disciples indeed. Then shall you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Alright, so there's something about continuing God's word. The challenge of modern day Christianity is the fact that they have a tendency to listen to the word of God, listen and keep listening, and really practice. It is not the hearer that is blessed, it is the doer that is blessed. Amen? So, you must discipline yourself. Your Bible must not be one dusty book upon the shelf in your house. It is the living word of God written to you for the purpose of practice. If you are going to experience any of the things that God has said in his word, you have to know what he has said. You have to understand what he has said. You have to practice what he has said. So don't be a forgetful hearer. Retain the knowledge that you have by practicing. So everything we're teaching is for the purpose of practice. It is those who practice that are blessed. All right, are you in 1 Corinthians 2 now? Verse 7. Ministering and receiving education. Verse 7. I'm going to read verse 7 all the way to the last verse. So please make sure you're reading along as I read. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of these princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. That passage is loaded with so many things. Who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may give him instruction or counsel? Bible says, but we have the mind of Christ. Why is the mind of Christ not readily available to the average Christian? It's still in that same passage of scripture. He says we have. Say, I have the mind of Christ. I believe I have what the Bible says I have. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. Now it says we have. 1 Corinthians 2 is a major on the things that we have. We have the mind of Christ. Verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not. So he's making a comparison, not just between those who are born again and those who are not. He's saying that in your natural state of thinking, your natural mind does not readily accept or receive the things of the Spirit. In fact, they appear foolishness to the carnal and unreasoning mind. He says, he can't even know them because they are spiritually discerned or understood or seen. To discern means to see and to judge. So he says he can't even see them. So a believer who lives strictly within the limits and confines of his mind will never enjoy or walk in the measure of spiritual blessing that God has prepared for him. That's what he's saying here. So let's go back to verse 7, and then we move all the way down. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Remember our definition of mystery. What is a mystery? A mystery is not what is not known. A mystery is what is known by a few. A mystery is something that a few hold in common by initiation. So a mystery is not something that's not known to everyone. It's simply known to a few. And you require initiation or to be brought into that fold of knowledge. So he says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And he already says, no man knows the things of God save the Spirit of God. So if we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, we understand that it's the wisdom of God, and no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, it means we also must have the Spirit of God. As the only way we can know certain things that belong to God. But it's showing us a process here. It says, we didn't say we know the wisdom of God in a mystery. It says we speak it in a mystery. What is the purpose of speaking for the wisdom of God in a mystery? That we may know. Anything realm of knowledge is something in existence that is already present or in the past. Anything realm of wisdom is futuristic, is yet to manifest, is yet to come. So he's trying to tell us, how do we bring what is futuristic into manifestation now? That's what he's saying. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. What does it mean by hidden? Remember verse 14, the natural man receiveth not. Is it available? Yes. In what form? Hidden form. So it's not something that your natural mind can search on the surface and find. It says it's hidden. It means it is available, but kept in a realm and in a format that the natural mind can access. Because after it says, the natural man receiveth not, it now talks about the fact that the spiritual man judges all things. So it's making a comparison between the natural man and the spiritual man. So to the natural way of thinking, the things of God, because they are spiritual things, they are things that belong to another realm, they look foolish. For instance, the Bible speaks about the fact that people say sin is believing. But the Bible actually teaches that believing is sin. So if you tell the average man that sin, believing is sin, he counts that foolishness. Why? He's a natural man. He can't receive the things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit do not abound in the realm of his experience. Where is the realm of his experience? The natural realm. And the natural is present, but the spiritual is also present. And one is superior to the other. Why are we born again? So that we may access the spiritual and use it to affect the natural. That's the plan and purpose of God. Do you know one of the reasons why God ensured your salvation, why you are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost? You know the word ghost is the same word as guest. There is a holy guest living inside you now. How do you know that the word ghost and guest in the original King James mean the same thing? That's actually the kingdom for guest. The Holy Ghost and the Holy Guest mean the same. It means there's a holy guest in you now. And because it doesn't have a physical body, it depends upon your physical body to find expression. Your physical body and my physical body gives us authority on the earth. God's presence gives us power. God requires the combination of his power and our authority to manifest on earth. So God has the ability. We have the authority. Our physical bodies give us authority on the earth. So the reason why God says we should remain sanctified, in fact, the Bible says that every man should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification, for the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. What he's talking about is talking about the fact that God requires your body to find expression on the earth. And God is counting on your body, you yielding your body, which is you yielding authority, so that he can supply his authority for things, he can supply the ability for things to work on the earth. So, the things of God that God brings within the circumference of our knowledge are for the purpose of, once we understand, we activate or we exercise that singular act that only man on earth has the full authority to exercise, and that is to speak in this natural realm and see what is hidden become manifest. Let me face it another way. There are things in the realm of the Spirit, the only representation we have of those things by revelation are thoughts and their words. But words and thoughts remain in the invisible realm until they are spoken. So our speech creates a bridge from the realm of the invisible to the visible realm. What does that mean? It means no matter what God reveals and say to you, as long as you don't speak it, it will never become manifest in the physical realm. What is God's plan and purpose? The realm of the Spirit and natural exist side by side. But there has to be a bridge. Man is meant to supply that bridge. How will he supply it? We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We know God is invisible. We know the wisdom we're speaking of is also invisible. But we live in a visible realm. How therefore do we make it available for the outer man, which is our daily experiences to enjoy? We must speak it. Hallelujah. We must speak it. If you don't understand some of these principles, you will be like that natural man in verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. So that which you try to use your ordinary mind to comprehend, that belongs to that invisible realm, even the process of making it manifest will appear like foolishness. It takes training and a renewal of the mind for it not to appear like foolishness. It's the major reason why a lot of people still don't speak in tongues till now. They will give you a single reason why they don't speak in tongues. And most of the time, it's always, I don't understand what I'm saying. What are they doing? They are fulfilling verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness of to him. He is saying tongues is foolishness. And yet, that is the way God has provided as a venue for him to be delivered. If only we will speak. How many understand the composition of the air that you breathe every day? How many people understand it? How many people know what? Okay, what do you call the air that you breathe? Oxygen. Okay. What is the chemical symbol? Is it O2? Okay. What's the chemical composition of water? Okay. Don't let me harass you a little. I may ask you for more. If I start asking you, what component does H and O combine to form water? How many parts to what part? Now, do you need all those things to breathe in air? Is air beneficial? Is CO2 as beneficial? What is CO2? Okay, is it as beneficial? What do you breathe in? What do you breathe out? If you don't have oxygen to breathe in, what will happen to your system? It will collapse. Do you understand oxygen that much? All the chemical formation, you don't. But do you enjoy it? Exactly. Even when you don't understand what tongues meant to be for, as long as Jesus said, in my name, they shall speak with new tongues, you better believe you are a new race of being. A new race, a new civilization that is meant to show and manifest forth the glory of God. Why is tongues so hardly fought by the enemy? Because of what it conveys and what it will produce. That's why. So more believers are discouraged about speaking in tongues than almost any other thing. And the first line he tells everybody is this: do you know what you're talking about? Why is he saying that? He himself doesn't understand what you're talking about. But he understands this language will produce the glory of God. This language will bring about the manifestation of the will of God. This language will allow this believer to walk in a measure of blessing that the enemy can't hinder. So he will do any all his best to do what? To stop you. Why? Speech is the bridge between the unseen realm and the seen realm. Speech is a singular activity that God has given to man to actually express creative ability on the earth. Speech is that means by which man can use his will to cooperate with the will of God and bring about the purpose of God on earth. So Satan would rather have you dumb than to speak. Somebody asked me one day, those who were born deaf and dumb, how will they accept salvation? The mercy of God prevails. Because how do you explain those who are born as imbeciles? They don't have the understanding to even know about salvation. Do you think the grace of Jesus doesn't cover them? Jesus actually became an imbecile on the cross because of them. I don't know if you realize that. Why do I believe that gays and homosexuals can be saved? Jesus suffered for people that are gay. Not only did he suffer, he was even tempted to be gay. The Bible says he was tempted in all ways. Always means always. You know, if you're not careful, you're not reading the Bible where you'll be thinking that Jesus stands in the class by himself. He has never been tempted. Anybody who is not tempted is not human. He's not human. He was the 100% God and 100% man. If you can't be tempted, you are not human. You are not. If you are human, to men belong temptation. To men belong temptation. So in the same way also, we need to understand how important speech is. If you understand how important it is, you now understand why God be like, since speaking is a singular avenue by which I will bring about through man my plan and my purpose, and speech is a singular avenue that you can bring what is hidden into the sin realm. And speech is a singular avenue that God has also ordained that men will express their own will and will of God on earth. All I need to do is this: teach them how to speak and how to speak well. Somebody says, what did Adam lose in the garden? How to speak well. It was one of the things he lost how to do. He lost how to speak well. What does it mean to learn how to speak well? It means to learn how to bless. And to bless and curse not. So 1 Corinthians 2 again. Look at that verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even what? The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So what we're doing now, believers who are filled with the Spirit of God now, what we're simply doing by praying in the Spirit, by speaking in tongues, is actually releasing the glory ordained for us by God. It means God's secret plans for the foundation of the world. When you open your mouth to speak in tongues, you are actually releasing so that you can manifest that hidden glory. Bible says it was ordained for your glory. What will come out? God's wisdom. How does it come out? In hidden form. What is that hidden form? Mystery. What is that mystery? What does it really contain? God's wisdom. Let me jump to verse 9. Look at verse 9. As written, eye has not seen nor ear, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now notice, the Spirit searches all things. Which Spirit is searching? The Spirit of man searches all things. The Spirit of God will never need to search the things of God. The Spirit of God knows the things of God. The Spirit of man knows the things of man. So when the Spirit of man is going on a search, he's not searching for the things of man, he's searching for the things of God. So the Spirit of man, created in Christ Jesus, has been given a supernatural ability to search the things of God by the Spirit of God. What will happen, or what will he find, or what will he bring up? He's going to search out the avenues of God's wisdom. Now remember, he calls it the deep things of God. Let me make a statement. I want you to put on it. Every civilization has a culture. Every culture expresses itself through a particular language. A language is as big as a culture it represents. Let me say that again. Every single civilization has a culture. Yes or no? Every culture has a language of expression. And a language is necessarily as big as a culture is meant to. To be a new creation means to be a creature that never existed before. Number one. Number two, that a new creation can actually search the depths of God. The only way we can know it has searched God's depth and found certain things is he's going to say it. For him to be able to say it, he has to have a language big enough to express it. Hence the place of tongues. How do you understand English? By your mind. How did your mind understand it? You were taught. So if you are going to speak to me in English language, which is a language I understand and you understand, your brain is going to exercise that knowledge through your vocal cords, your tongue will form the words and then it will come out. So I said something last week. You don't know how important your tongue is until you lose it. If you remove your tongue, you will know the meaning of dump. In practical expression. Which means your tongue has a lot more to do with cleaving to the roof of your mouth, touching the inner parts of your cheek, and the under parts of your mouth to actually form words. So somebody says, Pastor, what is coming out through my vocal cords? Sound. What does your tongue do with sound? It changes it into words. All your vocal cord has is sound. What will your tongue do? With the help of your mouth, it will shape it into words, which is what you want to say. So the brain is the seat of man's intelligence. Through the brain, words are formed and communicated. English language, for instance, is a language of a particular civilization, which we all understand. In the same way, in the same manner, your spirit has a mind. The Bible calls it the mind of Christ. That chapter 2 that we just read, verse 6, says, but we have the mind of Christ. The same way English language comes from your natural mind, tongues form from your spiritual mind. So remember, when we looked at the story of the rich man and Lazarus, we saw something about Lazarus when he was in hell. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham. And saw Lazarus afar off in the bosom of Abraham. And he said, Father Abraham, tell Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger. Do you know he actually said tip of his finger? That is serious. Do you know what he's trying to convey to us? Your spirit is not a vapor or a smoke. Your spirit has a clear outline. Your spirit is exactly the way you are looking now, only not with your complexion. Your complexion is a genetic issue. Your spirit man doesn't have color like this. Why are you black? And some are black in particular. It's because you're Africans. Why are you Africans? By reason of distribution and genetic constitution. Does that genetic constitution work on the spirit? No. You only afflict the flesh. So, if we look at the spirit of Sister Mercy here now, it won't be black. But guess what? The outline of her spirit is as defined as the way she looks now. So Lazarus, whose body was buried, of Judea, looked and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and said, Father Abraham, please ask Lazarus to dip the tip. He said tip of his finger. So he had finger that had tip. So stop thinking the spirit of man is a smoke when you have your float. That's where the idea of ghost come from. We don't float. We are definite. We have fingers. We have legs. We have eyes. We have nose. He said, dip the tip of finger to cool my tongue. He had a tongue that he could feel. So he had sensation in his spirit form. And he saw, so he could see. I'm tormented in his flame. He could feel. His spirit man. You know the fire in that flame is not natural fire. There's spirit fire for burning spirits. That's why it's a sad thing that men, some men will go to hell. Because one of the things that Jesus said, that's one of the most surprising statements, that will cancel every lie. You know people that they call universalists? You people don't know anything about theology. Once saved, forever saved. All men shall be saved. You have not heard that theology before. Everybody shall be saved. Ultimately, they shall all be saved. You know, there's nothing like that. The lie of the devil. The truth is very clear. John 3:16 and 17. I hope you read to 17. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Let's stop. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So notice, shall have, is it past, present, or future? Present or future. What does that imply? It means before he sent his son, what were people doing? Perishing. They were perishing. So, what is the cause of everybody in this world? Perishing. How will they turn back? Whosoever believeth. And the word believe there is synonymous to whosoever receiveth him. For God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what the next verse says. So, what will God do? He will give. What will man do? Man will receive. So there's nothing like everybody will be saved. That's universalist theory. But here's what Jesus said. I think it's in Matthew chapter 20. Jesus said, men will be cast into hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was never prepared for man. Never. So it's a sad thing that men are going there. It was never prepared for man. That's one reason why we have to be more zealous and more serious about winning souls. Jesus said, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. And it's the kind of fire that spirit beings can feel. It burns spirits. If I said there are worms there that die not. So there are spiritual worms that eat people in hell. And they eat spirit substance. They are different from the one that eat flesh. This one, they eat spirit. What man said, I am tormented in this flame. So there are flames that can burn spirits. Think about it. It's a very serious matter. Think about it. Very graphic. But he said, tell him to dip the tip of his... It means the same way... Grammatics. Does your finger have tip? His finger has tip. Surprising. Guess what? His spirit finger also has tip. And fits in exactly into his physical finger. So, yeah, that definite. What does that tell you? You actually have a definite tongue. How many of you can feel your tongue right now? You can feel it. You can use it to form words. Okay. Have a conversation with the person sitting next to you. Just anything. Hello, how are you? How are you doing? How's everything? Now, stop. You know it was automatic. You didn't have to do too much thinking. Do you know why? Unconsciously, your seat of intelligence gives you the words. Your mind forms it. So, why is your mind forming it? Your mind has been taught. Mouth has been taught how to form those words over a period of time. Now, The same way also, he says we have the mind of Christ. Why are we new creations? A new creation is somebody who has access to another mind or another brain, a spiritual brain, where he can access a language and say it. The Bible calls that language the deep things of God. Do you understand? The Bible calls it the deep things of God. His new creation is a spirit being who has been initiated in God's society. He has access to a spiritual mind now, the same way he has access to a natural mind. And because his natural mind forms the language of the environment he lives in, his spiritual mind actually forms the language that the Spirit of God has given to him, which we call tongues. What will he convey? A language of the culture of that Indian environment, which is the language of the culture of God. Let me rephrase it this way. Acts chapter 2 is not just a testimony of a few people getting born again. It is God starting a new race. That's what it means. That the Holy Ghost came that way. Notice the Bible says that. And there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind and filled the whole place. It was a creation, a fresh work of creation starting again. What's the difference? They had to have language. And the language had to be released in such a way that it will bypass their mind. Why don't you understand tongues? It is God's way of bypassing your natural mind. What's the difference? God doesn't want to leave your mind fully bypassed alone. After bypassing your mind, he expects you through the language that is coming out to now instruct your mind. We speak the wisdom of God how? In a mystery. I have not seen nor heard. He hasn't entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his word. For our spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For not man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. But we have received. Now we have received. Not the spirit which is of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given. Why do we speak that we might know? Why should we know the things that are freely given? If we don't know them, we can't walk in them. Let me back up a little bit. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. What is wisdom? Something futuristic. It is there, but it is yet to manifest. What is knowledge? Something in the past or present. So God wants what is futuristic, yet to manifest, which is wisdom, to become something in our present or in our past, which is knowledge. The Bible says, but we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we may know the things which are freely given. So let's put it this way. The day you read in the scriptures, that surely it will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, or from the noisome pestilence. Do you know that to the average person, snare of the fowler is very far? He uses pictorial language to communicate spiritual truth. A fowler is somebody who catches birds. And they set snares in the bush. So they have a particular snare that will catch a particular bird. So he now speaks about the fact that he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. The word noisome pestilence is seen as epidemic. So there can be a measles epidemic, isn't it? What is he trying to convey? There are traps that are specific. There are general ones. So it says both from the specific and general, he will deliver you. Now that's a revelation. That's a revelation. He's trying to convey something. Now, in your particular case, you are the one who now knows. Or let me put it this way, the Holy Ghost will now reveal to you, in your case, what is a snare of a fowler? Because you are not going to go to the bush and you are not a bird. So you can't take it literally. But there are snares. So in your case, now what is the snare of the fowler for you? That is part of the reason why we speak forth in tongues. That we might know the things which are freely given. So I solemnly know. And spiritual things are so potent that even when we don't physically see them, once you can see it in the eye of your spirit, it becomes a law that affects you. I shared a testimony with us some time ago that one, a minister of God, well, one of the few mentors that I have, who said I was praying one day and, you know, there was always this issue of people's luggages being ransacked at the airport. In fact, if you've been to the airport, you've had to fly a few times, you will see that some people, the way they package their bag, you'll be like, when will they open it? The sellotape that they will use to bind, before you can cut that thing and remove the, then if some people use 5 padlocks, you're like, the key of this padlock must not get lost though. Somebody says, why? They ransack people's luggages. Now, so he said, he was always traveling with mindset of like, okay, they've stolen some of his things before. They just open it slightly, remove some things, and they're inclusive back. You get with your legion, you start looking for that. So one day, as he was praying in the spirit, remember we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. He spoke out something. Suddenly he saw a particular scripture in a different way. Now the ones that God speaks, they are spirit and they are life. That means that never ever think that what you heard from this verse of scripture is what you will hear next time. God's word is living and active. It means there are different dimensions to that word. And there are many things about that statement you have not yet heard. Let me give you an illustration. You know, the Bible speaks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me show you that verse. We're going to come back here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. What does that verse mean? Do you think the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God is just giving a mere illustration? That singular verse is saying plenty. Do you know what he's trying to say? Is that he says, the same God who commanded shine out of darkness. Question, when did God command light shine out of darkness? When? In the beginning. What kind of work would we say God did in the beginning? Is it not creative work? What did he do? He commanded light shine out of darkness. He now says, the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness are shine in your hearts. When he became born again, it's like God stood outside of you like this, looked at your spirit and it was darkness, and he commanded light to shine. And when God finished, he had the right to say, and it was good. And everything about your spirit is good. That's exactly what the Spirit of God is trying to say there. How do you see that? You pray in tongues. Otherwise, you just be reading English. And this book is not English at all. It's English you'll be reading, English. And that can profit you. And there's more in this thing that you can ever imagine. So even when you hear and you spend time speaking in tongues, what are you doing? The wisdom of God. Or what is the intent in the mind of the person who wrote it? And once you understand the intent, understanding dawns, you see like God sees, you know like God knows, it affects or changes the direction of your work. He said, after God revealed that thing to him, that's why I can't take what you have and start using. Except I see what you see, I'll be able to use. So he said, he no longer uses padlock. And if you are going on international flight and you don't use padlock on your back, you must know something. Because you can't just generally say, angels of God, watch over this back. And now your security person that will be watching over back. That's what that is they are going to do. But he said he saw something. From that day till this, he doesn't lock the back. And nothing has ever gone missing again. And the day that something got missing, he locked it. Do you see this? Can you see an issue? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. So there is something that proceeds from God to you that is making you do what you do. That's why I can't copy you. Pastor, do you pray that God should keep you at night? I don't. Why don't you pray? I actually don't remember to pray. Did I used to pray before? Yes. Why did I stop? I don't remember to pray like that. If you are with me in the car, we are traveling. Pastor, I've not prayed. Can we pray? Let's pray, since you are here. It's not a sin, it's not wrong to pray. Let's pray. Why am I not praying? He gave his angels charge over me. They bear me up in their arms, lest I dash my foot. The Lord God is my helper. I will not be afraid. There's nothing. In fact, I automatically expect that when I'm fellowshipping with God, if there's danger on the way, I will have known, I will have taken care of it. So God, as we're going on the journey, go with us. As we're coming back, come with us. It doesn't have any other work. It's come with you. You know, yeah, go with us. As we're going on. Have you ever sat down in all these luxurious buses praying for? Three people can pray. Three people can pray. Depending on where they're coming from. If there's those on a fire, oh God, every blood sucking demon the way, Holy Ghost, fire. Holy Ghost, fire. Holy Ghost, you're already admitting they are blood sucking demons. That's where the problem even starts. So people who didn't know they were blood sucking demons, and they're standing, blood sucking demons. Blood sucking. You know, and there's nowhere in the Bible where you find the word blood sucking. It's the creation of man and his religious mind. Holy Ghost ballistic missile against all my enemies. It's the creation of man. He shall deliver you in six troubles. In the seventh, no evil shall come near you. That's what the Bible says. You shall grow to your grave as a shock of corn comes in a season. It means you go at a ripe old age. That's what the Bible says. So even if it's not based on the Bible, why are people saying it? That's where the issue is. So you need to even ask yourself, as we're traveling now, why do I really want to pray? You need to understand. So those who don't pray, you can't just start doing what they are doing. You have to know why they are not seemingly praying. Because they've probably prayed in the morning and their fellowship with God is intact. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. We speak the wisdom of God, and he is the wise one in a mystery. You've spoken forth enough wisdom. It has not come to your knowledge. It has affected the way your mind thinks. Your life has not been transformed. So the way you are walking now is very different from the way other people are walking. That's what happens. Why? The spirit of man searches the deep things of God. The deep things of God means that the things that are not readily available to the mind of ordinary men. If you are operating with the knowledge that comes from the deep things of God, you will obviously be having supernatural experiences. It will always be almost, but it misses you. But it will almost always miss you. That's where the issue is. Deliverance comes to be often because deliverance for you is not a function of luck. It's a function of law. Hallelujah. It's a function of law. It's not a law by which you are living by. It's a law because it has come to the realm of your knowledge. Your mind even has been changed in the way of thinking. So when people are even releasing all these general statements of certain things happening, it's automatic. Your mind is automatically rejecting it. That's my portion. That's not my path. I walk a different path. I walk in the light. In my path, there is life. In my path, there is no death. That's what the Bible says about the righteous. How is it coming? You're speaking it out. Now, remember what we said. A language is as big as the culture it represents. So if we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, and that wisdom now comes from understanding, which is what we call what? Edification. How many remember we said that? Okay, because I hope you have not forgotten. Everything I've been saying since is still about the same line. Ministry and receiving education. We speak that wisdom in a mystery. And when you speak that wisdom and it begins to filter to your understanding, which is now understand what it is that you spoke forth in tongues, the Bible calls it what? Edification. Which means something that will lift your soul and lift your mind. Suddenly there's relief. Suddenly you are no longer in a panic manifold. Suddenly you are free of the sense of anxiety because you can see clearer. It's as though there are challenges all around you and then you spoke out something. And remember, it's your mind that confronts challenges. Because challenges never come directly to your spirit. Your spirit is a mighty man of war. But they don't come near your spirit. They come first to your mind. And once your mind shuts down, it's going to affect your experiences. So what happens is that once they come all around your mind, what God does is by God's spirit, God releases ability through your spirit to affect the condition of your mind. When your mind is affected, there is what you call like a lifting effect or influence, such that words will be spoken that will change the composition of your mind. It's as though you are surrounded all around and then suddenly something begins to move you and you're as though you rise taller. And all the challenges, and you can see freedom, you can see avenues of increase, you can see above all the challenges. It's called edification. Your soul is edified. Hallelujah. Your soul is edified. And there is no physical challenge that doesn't give in to spiritual influence. None. There is no physical challenge that will not give in to spiritual influence. It means that a man that has spiritual influence easily knows how to dispel physical challenges. Easily. It is when you have no connection with the creative realm that you have a problem in the natural. Everything that happens around you, you collapse on that. But once you operate from the creative realm, the Bible calls it in that 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the deep things of God, which we are called to speak. Let me proceed a little and see what it says. Let's go back. Are you in 1 Corinthians 2? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2. Wow. We've not even opened the one where I want us to open today. That's the interesting part. Well, we'll just stop once it's 8 o'clock as usual, maximum. All right. Are you there? Verse 12, please. Now we have received. Somebody says, I have received the Spirit of God. Now, let me explain. Do you notice that it says, now I receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God? Let me explain. Do you know, I reminded that, which spirit is he talking about there? Is he talking about the Holy Spirit? Is he talking about the Holy Spirit? No. Remember the King James, the way it is written. When he uses the word spirit here, he's talking about nature. We no longer have the nature which is of the world, but the nature which is of God that we might know. What is peculiar about God's nature? God's nature knows. And when he uses the word knowing here, he's not talking about knowing by learning. He's talking about knowing by instinct. Let me explain again. Your new nature in Christ knows. Your spirit man doesn't study to know. Your spirit man just knows. Somebody says, why? Like God. Your spirit, God doesn't study to know. God just knows. To that same degree also, your spirit also knows all about you. Your spirit didn't have to study about you to know about you. Your spirit simply knows all about you. And your spirit knows how to search the avenues of God's wisdom to bring you out of every single situation. Your spirit knows how. How does he do that? We speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. How do I engage my spirit on a search? I start speaking. If I start speaking, it's like typing in the subject matter into Google. He enters into search mode. My spirit begins to spew out certain things. I use my natural tongue to convey what my spirit man is saying. I say it out. The more I say it out, the more I'm releasing mysteries. The more I release mysteries, the more my mind will come into a comprehension. Once the knowledge comes to my mind makes it possible for me to walk in the reality of it. If I look at what it says in verse 13. Verse 12 again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. After we know, what happens? Which things also we speak. Not in the ones which man's wisdom teaches. What are the things we speak? The things which are freely given. What are the things which are freely given? The things which are of the nature that we belong to, which is of the nature of God. Bible calls it deep things in verse 10. It talks about deep things in verse 10. Verse 13 talks about the fact that those things we also speak. Why is the Holy Ghost teaching us? Because that which we're speaking are the deep things of God. Who knows all about God? The Holy Ghost. He knows all about God. So he's teaching us with a particular or with a particular language which only he can teach. Hallelujah. When you are speaking in tongues, you are speaking language that the Holy Ghost is using to instruct you. That's why another basic reason why we speak in tongues is this, is for us to come under the advisement of the Holy Ghost. We submit ourselves as students to learn. He teaches with words. He teaches not with words, of natural human learning. That's one of the reasons why your brain doesn't understand tongues. Hallelujah. Your brain doesn't understand tongues. But it's a language. How many people understand Portuguese here? You understand Portuguese? Okay. How many people understand Africans? We need a more diversified congregation. Amen. We shall go and win souls from other places. That we may have a more diversified confusion. Why don't you understand? Because you didn't live in an environment where your mind could be taught it. So the language that man is used to when it comes to the man's mind is language that man is taught. But here it talks about the language which the Holy Ghost teaches. The Holy Ghost, through your spiritual mind, will release language through your spiritual tongue. Your spiritual tongue will take hold of your natural tongue. It will speak it out. Why are you speaking it out? It says, which things also we speak, not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but which Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What are those things? The things that God has freely given. So in the area of your promotion, there are things God has freely given. In your workplace, there are things that God has freely given. In your health, there are things God has freely given. That's one of the reasons why you can put 10 believers together, and you'll be amazed that probably 7 out of them, when I say 10 believers now, 10 believers who believe in divine health, and they are walking or enjoying divine health to a degree. And you'll be surprised that out of that 10, probably 7 of them are standing on different scriptures. And you're wondering, why are they not all be scripture? Because what the scripture is telling you, this scripture that appeals to you, doesn't necessarily appeal to me. So if I tell you, who can give us a healing scripture here? That exam is coming. Somebody stand up and give us a healing scripture. Don't carry your Bible. Don't stand up if you can't quote it. Where can we find that? Sorry? You are close. The scripture she quoted was right, but the verse and passage is not right. The verse and passage, you know, is not right. It's not correct. Sorry? It's not Peter. That one is not Peter. You are correct, but that is Matthew's rendering. Matthew 8:17. That's Matthew's rendering of it. 1 Peter 2:24 says it differently. Who himself bore our own sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin may live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's 1 Peter 2:24. Himself took, that's Matthew 8:17. Yes, next. Next. If you can't give any scripture here, this exam has a long time in coming. So you must know what English, at least one English scripture. Or we have quoted your two favorite ones. And it's good because we're going to make it open exam. Because you now know that carrying your Bible is not equal to having the answer. Because you must not know where it is inside the Bible. And I know you can also get to pick. You must be able to quote a scripture on protection. On divine protection, you put scriptures on divine healing, you quote scripture on divine prosperity, you quote scripture on divine direction. These are basic things that every believer needs to know. So if you can't quote it, it means that you are not consciously meditating in those areas. So you can be caught off guard. Because the one that you have in you is proportional to the faith that you actually have at work in you. That's one of the reasons why you see us. If you can't quote where it is in the Bible, fine. Where it is in the Bible is not as important as you knowing it. Because then you know the Bible, the devil doesn't recognize 4 John 3:8, go. 1 John 3:8, go. 1 John 3, I say go. He doesn't understand. No. For this purpose was going to manifest that might destroy the works of the devil. That's what he understands. So, I'm saying that when you memorize it, it's good. But what is inside that passage is what's more important to me as a pastor. I need you to know. That's one of the reasons why I declare a law of words in church as confession, so that some things will register on your consciousness. It's important. So if we have two scriptures on healing or health, what happens to all the scriptures? What happens to Psalm 91? What happens to Exodus 23? What happens to Exodus 17, Psalm 15? There's so much. There's Isaiah 1, Isaiah 53. That one didn't have plenty. Psalm 107. That's Psalm 107, verse 20. What happened to all those ones? So there are plenty of them. You must be able to recall. If you're a member of Nobulus, I see you as a minister. A minister must have something to minister. Have you seen ministers with that portfolio before? No. And the greatest thing you have is the word of God. So you must be ready to quote it and to declare it and to give to people that will have need of it because you have used it before on your own. See why it's important to pray in tongues. Jesus said, the Holy Ghost will bring to your remembrance everything I've said unto you. He even brings your remembrance scriptures that you need. Hallelujah. It's so important. So, the Bible says, verse 13, which things also we what? Speak. Not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or seen. Let me put it this way. The Holy Ghost will give you words which we are calling tongues, and it will convey the deep things of God. It will convey God's wisdom so that you may know. When you begin to know, it will affect the composition of your mind. The Bible calls it renewal of the mind. When your mind is renewed, it will affect the way you walk. And when the Holy Ghost is speaking through you, the reason why he introduces verse 14, every scripture is what you call progressive revelation. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. To discern means to see. The time will come when you will speak, and images will form in your consciousness, which means you will begin to see. What are you seeing? Things that are present, but not visible to the natural eye. Every single born again Christian experiences a particular form of vision. Every one of us. There are three forms of visions. There's inner vision or spiritual vision, there's open vision, and then there's trance. The other two, open vision and trances, happen more when for those who are in ministry. Not only that, they are within the scope of God. You can't put yourself in a trance. Is that the Holy Ghost manifests that way or it doesn't? You can't give yourself an open vision. But when it comes to spiritual vision, there is no born again Christian that doesn't experience spiritual vision. The challenge is this: most of us don't even know that's what we're experiencing. So, everybody close your eyes. It's time for practicals. Close your eyes. Open your eyes. Okay, that's the first test to see whether you obey. to obey is better than sacrifice. Because if you don't obey that instruction, what we want to do, you won't even enter in. Everything's by faith. Now, before you close your eyes now, carry out this instruction with one understanding. What's that understanding? We, say I, speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The things which are freely given, the Holy Ghost teaches me with words, not with words of man's wisdom, but with words which he instructs me to speak. I have the mind of Christ. I will speak now. The wisdom of God will come forth. I will understand and I will discern. I will see. Hallelujah. Now, let me stop and say something before I experiment. Many times when I'm teaching and I want to give an illustration or I want to demonstrate. Let me use the word demonstrate. The reason, what happens a lot of times to me is that when I want to demonstrate and I start bringing tongues, for me, 90% of the time, I see what I'm saying. It's not just because I'm a ministry gift. Part of the reason is also because of exercise. That you have exercised yourself along that line. So you see. Bible uses the word design. The word design means to see. It means that we can speak to the point where we actually begin to see some of the things we're saying. Remember, speech is a bridge between the unseen and the seen. So the things that become seen are things that men have yielded themselves to speak, then they become seen. So if God shows you a house in the realm of the spirit, the reason why it's showing you is this. Speech is the way you're going to bring it to come to pass. You have to say it. So your life and your experiences will never rise beyond what you are able to say. Do you understand? What you're able to say? I told a member here, I told him, I said, I saw you coming down from a plane and your wife coming to meet you at the airport with two kids. It doesn't mean they can't have three. Me, I saw two. With two kids. And the time I was saying it, they were having issues with conception. One is already on ground, number two is now on the way. And the man has started coming down from a plane. And the time I said coming down from a plane, he wasn't coming down from any plane. In fact, it looked as though the plane was far from him. Now, why did I say it? God showed it to me. But here's the challenge. God's plan part is to reveal. There is a problem if I don't see it. Because sin is a part of releasing into manifestation in a man's life. Hallelujah. That's part of the purpose of prophecy. You must say. You must say. You must say. So you can release the ability of God along that area. So he talks about the deep things of God. He also calls them things that are hidden. Should they remain hidden? No. God wants them to be released into the physical realm where everyone who participates in it will be able to enjoy it. Hallelujah. So are you ready? You are going to consciously speak in tongues. Someone says, what am I speaking? You start first. Remember, you have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ contains the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is going to come out of your mouth in a mystery. What's that mystery? It's going to come out in tongues. Consciously listen as you're speaking out. Have the faith that understanding will come. Then check your inner man also, because every single believer sees. We all see. Most of the time, we just somehow don't pay attention to what we're seeing. When we say, you know what, you know, most believers excuse, it's my mind. The Bible says that the eyes of understanding being enlightened. It means those pictures have been painted on the canvas of your mind. That's spiritual vision. That's spiritual vision. Are you ready? Are you ready? When I say 1, 2, go, you start. Okay? Are you ready? Why are you closing your eyes? Let me explain why. As you're closing your eyes now, what can you see? You can see me. I can see you. You can see who is in front of you. Why do we sometimes close our eyes? To help our mind. If our mind doesn't have anything to see, it can receive. Because if I do like this, my eye is no longer feeding my mind. What is feeding my mind now is my ears and what I will say. So if only my ears, because three things, my eyes will feed my mind, my ears will feed my mind, what I will say will feed my mind. So if I've closed this one, it means I want to allow this, my inner eyes, to be open. So I close the external one. How will it be open? When I start speaking from a new source, a new realm. Do you understand? All right. 1, 2, go. And say, Bob, you love the anki is this a pretty locumbrana ankas this a set eleato, or by a left register she, beat to bruise the sibrana cooling and brandian testicus, zumbronda la cata, la to brew, the ish the breasticus this a sibriate lecubru di canamstum, next brandy is to subru de la castis a predique, and subrucula castle of redilla casticus this a predilla castu subrucutaye. Nestu bratu colis, tisibredica, lenum graticis, tisibrekitili, lustubrus de vranacus, libranacus, esese, bredila bradista subrucus tesica, zeki brucusta sabracatiliene, eletiv jebrusta sacata, enca, brunges, tivre, ete, leco, custa bracasticis, tisia, zeso brucutaliana, anilis de bresticus, tuso brucutaliana, castia, eliniga, le dugola, delevritis de bresticus, tisis, tisis, le manco, coguma, Kogo mangalite, zezon kabradile keliste che prestiko suzubuko. Lanon, grasti kistise sebredie kalante. Elida ashte sivri kistise sebredik la kasti. Zekon zabrana kalatishto brokusta kise. Hallelujah. Stop. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question before I say what I'm going to say next. How many of you sometimes hear tongues in your mind? You sometimes hear tongues in your mind. Now, how many of you have felt that, no, that's not right though? You can hear tongues in your mind. It's a language. You notice that when you hear it in your mind, it still doesn't mean you understand it. Now, I stopped you suddenly. If I had asked you to continue, now, and say, let's continue. And I say, stop again. And I say, let your eyes remain closed and don't open it yet. You will discover that you are hearing tongues. It's like it continues. Only you're no longer saying it out. It is that real. So even your neck can hear it. What you now need to do is that the way you also allow is still rolling that way, you can quieten your mind to the point where you now begin to understand. For instance, now, one of the things I spoke for was that more real is the deliverance and the victory. More real than the noise that the enemy is making through negative news is a victory that I've planned for you. More real and more certain because it was done before even the enemy came on the scene. More sure is the answer to the questions you're seeking. More sure is the provision you have asked for in the place of faith. So do not let go. Do not drop. Do not allow that which the enemy is saying to let go of that which you have held on to for so long. For surely there is an end and your expectation shall not be cut off. When you hear negative news, it has this strange ability to rob you of strength. In fact, you just become weak. You can lose appetite. You don't know how strong negative news can be to the mind of man. But the same way also, when you hear God's reports, which is the substance of prophecy, you'll be amazed at how much of a lift it produces. It's as though something just wakes you up from slumber. It's as though you are back to your right senses. Before you felt so weak, so defeated, everything's not working, nothing is moving, and everything like that. And you don't know, there's a major attack upon your consciousness. But when you hear the prophetic, what happens? You are back in your right mind. You're like, all I can see is Jesus. All I can see is victory. All I can see is provision. All I can see is answers coming. All I can see is divine supply. It means you are seeing right, you are seeing well. Now, how many of you heard or saw something when you were praying in tongues? I'm not going to necessarily ask you to come and say, but I just want you heard something or you saw something. Okay, who are those who heard something? Who are those who saw something? Do you notice that we have those two groups of people? You will have that here, see. Somebody says, why? Because the ones you're speaking will create an image or will produce revelation. Those who heard is revelation. Those who saw is revelation, but in seen form or in images, image form. What are you meant to do? Process what you have seen. Pay attention to what you have heard. Learn how to now say it. What will happen? Your mind will be lifted. You'll be able to walk with God. Can two walk together with God? Can two walk together except the reward? Agreed. What are we doing because of the fall of Adam? The spirit, the flesh, the body of man no longer wants to do what the spirit of man wants to do. In Christ Jesus, God is bridging that gap so that the same way the spirit is willing, the body also can be willing. That's the reason why we pray when we speak and renew our mind. so we can be brought into that full transformation. Hallelujah. So before we go, we're going to speak forth again. Okay? Now, two things you're going to do. If as you pray now, you're going to close your eyes and pray in tongues again. How many of us are filled with the Spirit? You can pray in tongues. Okay? How many of us can you are not filled with the Spirit? You can pray in tongues. Let me see your hand. You can pray in tongues. You can pray in tongues. All right. So we're going to close our eyes and pray in tongues again. And this time around, you will either see or hear. Pay attention to it. And then, consciously after we stop, speak for those things to yourself, if they are for you. If they are for anybody here, you can come and say it. On your skin, because there's a general word that edifies people. There are things you see, you may not even understand. That's why we have people that will help to interpret what it is that you saw. And I have a reason for saying, because by next week, if you can get fully into it, we'll see some of the things we're going to step into, because like I said, you start learning. My pastor was speaking one day, and as he gave a message in tongues, I sat down in that special meeting. It was a Holy Ghost meeting. It was about 11 years ago, here in Lagos, my former church. And as he gave the message, one of the interpreters got up and gave a message. He told him, the message you give is right, but that is not the interpretation of the message I just gave now. And I got up and I told him, this is what you said. And what he said was something, as he said it, I saw it. I saw a man start out on a journey, walking through the wilderness, because he didn't take enough provision. The provision ran out in the middle of the journey. He was now stranded. And suddenly there appeared somebody, gave him fresh provision. He received strength. He was now able to walk until he reached fruitful land. The minute I said it, he shouted, that's exactly what it is. Not. I didn't just say it in form. I was seeing it as the man was saying it, in pictorial form. That's how revelation comes. So I knew God was speaking to somebody in that meeting. I was talking about the fact that even though when you started, your provisions ran out, but I will supply and I'll provide and I will ensure that you reach the end. Do you understand? Of course, wherever it was for, was jumping. Because life came, strength came. All right, shall we speak again? Are we ready? 1, 2, go. Semon grasti se vredi la casta shebrusta casta dita elinango brusta bracati elibru kud yete legite sisi deako lubai telebreti shte se vredi a casti se kiti igi bugi leni endo guta leni shterita staso zobruta kalite lenile eshteke zezuko bratia akile enika lo brustu sabrieto lukuta. Elinum gobra estikis subrokuta la kaleti sheke brekistikis desi sesu prada kalatiste seseti le bruko kasto lukla elefle elele bronchto shubrusta branda kaladia kastikis sebredi kalatiste esesebri kanas da kaso talustesh. Amen. Amen. How many of you something registered? All right. Something registered. The same thing again came. For whenever the same thing comes again, it means, was it for you or for somebody else? Sorry? Selling fuel into your car. Okay. Do you have fuel in your car? Okay. But you know the implication is that it's not just fuel. You know the car represents you and progress in life. So that's a hand propelling you in progress. That's the implication of what you are seeing. Do you understand? But spiritual things need to be interpreted. Now, for instance, now, I will speak about two people just now. The fear that you are having now is that things will go back to the way they were last year financially. And I'm talking to a man. I know who you are. I'm just not pointing to you. That things will go back to the way they were financially last year, because there has been seemingly a cessation in what was manifested as a blessing. But do not be deceived. And do not allow the enemy to deceive you into thinking it is over, for it is just beginning. For whatever the Lord starts, he continues. And so, spend this time that looks as though nothing is coming to pray more and trust me. And I will give you utterance and you will say and speak as certain things. And that which seems to have stopped and has become a trickle will become a mighty flowing stream again. And somebody also, you are a female. Doubt and uncertainty surround you very often. Almost a consistent thing to discourage you, because every time you get into the things of the spirit, you always stop at a particular point and you have never explored beyond that point. So you have never fully been edified to the point where doubt and uncertainty will never matter or bother you consistently again. And so over and over again comes the thought, what will I do? I know I have an handle on life. I don't have control on things that's happening. But follow the pattern of the way I've operated with you. Allow yourself to break out of the limits that the mind is trying to impose on you. Allow the mind of Christ to speak out the right words, and you'll find yourself soaring. And once and for all, the uncertainty and the fear and the doubt, they will cease and lose their hold over you, and you'll find yourself in a position of perpetual trust and faith, knowing that the next phase is settled, that the next phase is a reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So like I said, how many of us ate something? What you ate, was it for you? Was it something for you? How many of us saw something? You saw? Okay. Was it something too that was relevant to you? Amen? Like I said, some things were relevant to you, some things were relevant to others. What matters is that you heard and you saw something. So you can understand that this thing we are talking about works. Okay? John the Apostle says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I had a voice. So if you could be praying in the Spirit and you heard a voice, you also can be in the Spirit and you will hear and see. That's the plan and will of God for us. Amen. I trust God that we will enter more into practice. Okay? So, next week might be a believers meeting. We should enter more into practice. Okay, so there's some things that we should now practicalize. The Bible talks about hearing and hearing, and then it talks about doing and doing. We need to do. We need to do also. Amen. All right.